And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Just 6 days and counting until we turn that corner and the days stop shortening and we begin once again the return to the longer day. It's been 8 long days since Manhattan's spirits dimmed and people there and around the world expressed their outrage that one of the city's most beloved residents, Pale Mail, the red-tailed hawk, lost his home in a dispute with the board of the 927 Penthouse Co-op. There is breaking news, and we bring it to you live when we return here on the Voice of the Earth. Keep speaking on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
6 days till winter officially begins, 9 days till Christmas, and then 16 days till we welcome the new year, 2005. As many of you know, there have been some dramatic developments in the Pale Mail saga since we last talked. Tuesday night, last week's guest Lincoln was arrested for allegedly stalking some of the residents of the building. We'll be discussing that and the announcement of a settlement in this story that has captured the attention of people all around the globe. We'll be talking with David Miller of National Audubon, the New York chapter, during our second segment. He was personally involved in the negotiations, and we also learn of the hopes for Pale Mail's return to his lofty position in Manhattan society. We begin the show with other news of the Earth, and then we announce the upcoming declaration of the Decade of Discovery. In our third segment, we head on up into the headwaters of one of America's scenic riverways, the St. Croix River, which forms over 250 miles of the boundary between Minnesota and Wisconsin. And on a personal note, it was there that my career as a naturalist was born 30 years ago in St. Croix State Park. So, that'll be fun. And I want to remind you that you can do lots of your holiday gift buying and invest in the future of our Earth by visiting one of the Wildside News stores. Our bookstore features all the books discussed here on the Wildside News, which you can easily purchase through our wonderful partner, Powell's Books. And do check out the Nature Store and Gallery for the best in nature goods, gear, and wonders. So, let's begin with this week's news. Our lead story, Pale Mail has won his battle. With the help of millions from around the world, the people of New York, Lincoln Kareem, and the National Audubon Society. The saga of the 12-year resident of Uptown Manhattan was peaceably resolved with the announcement that the Audubon Society and the 927 Fifth Avenue Co-op Board have reached an agreement to restore the pigeon spikes that held in place the nest of red-tailed hawk Pale Mail and his mate Lola. The building intends to erect a guardrail around the 12th floor window cornice, the original location of the nest, in order to stabilize the area and make it more secure. No word from Pale Mail regarding his reaction to the decision, but thousands will be watching in the days ahead. Join us in segment two as we go in depth with David Miller of National Audubon about the future of Pale Mail and the role of such creatures in our lives. Everything seems to be heating up as the Earth heats up due to the buildup of CO2 and other gases resulting in global warming. Yes, it's a fact. The Bush administration continues to be challenged by other members of the emerging global economy and system. The Inuit people of Alaska are considering taking the case for the disappearance of their land, life, and livelihood to the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, claiming that those responsible for the dramatic increases in temperature be held liable for the assault on their basic human rights of survival. The commission is an investigative arm of the Organization of American States, but has no enforcement powers. However, the information collected could become the basis for lawsuits against the U.S. and American companies. Representatives of the Inuit people conclude that something is bound to give, and it's starting to give in the Arctic, and we're giving that early warning signal to the rest of the world. International experts looking for a means to break a deadlock with the United States over climate change consulted on an array of ideas Monday to engage the U.S., the number one source of greenhouse gases, along with second-level sources China and India. The debate is settling into a struggle to determine if the issue should be handled from the top with standards and recommendations at a global level and on a national level, or from the bottom with governments defining strategies that they can contribute to the overall mission. Opponents of the top-down strategy, which includes members of the Bush administration, fear such directives could put undue stress on the business economy of the U.S. Opponents of the bottom-up voluntary approach, primarily environmental organizations and NGOs, feel the approach would result in far too little progress too late. Meanwhile, the Bush administration is turning to its new mandate to promote its Clear Skies legislation that is designed to refashion the nation's air quality laws. One of the myriad changes that are being promoted by the current administration is a nationwide cap and trade system, that's cap and trade, that allows companies to purchase the rights to pollute more from companies that earn pollution credits by improving their emission standards. It's a trade-off system. The overall effect is to encourage all new and retooled power plants to invest in cleaner technologies to save them money. However, the Bush plan seeks to postpone implementation of some of the deadlines from 2009 until 2015, and to remove the requirement that new smokestacks install stricter pollution controlling technologies when they upgrade their equipment. All of this is to say that the struggle to address global warming will heat up in the new year. 1 in 10 bird species will likely become extinct within the next 100 years due to fragmentation and destruction of bird habitat, hunting and collection of rare birds for the pet trade, introduction of foreign species like cats that prey on isolated species, climate changes that alter home range conditions for various species. And that's the news. Hey, I have another air grill blower to give away to the first person who emails me with the word air grill blower in the subject line. Send that with your shipping address to wildsidenews@cox.net. That's WILDSIDENEWS at COX.NET. And you may receive the handiest hand crank device for turning a dwindling fire into a warming inferno, the air grill blower. So, again, if you'd like one, take a chance. The first person who sends me that email will get one shipped to them as soon as I can. We have over 1,000 unique listeners out there, thanks to all of you. But let's make that 2,000 by next week. This is so easy. I want each of you to get one of your friends to go to wildsidenews.com, just like you are now, and check out the website, listen to some of the shows. We're getting a lot of people listening to a lot of shows. You know, I encourage you all to get on there and regularly and just, you know, adventure around into the realms of the wild. There's so many amazing people who've been on this show so far. And we're building a network, the Voice of the Earth Network, that, you know what, is going to change the planet. You know why? Because we have to. Hey, want to be an air correspondent for the an on-air correspondent for the Wildside News? Send me your stories. You can add your voice. We need new voices from around the world to create a chorus of change that is coming, and no one can stop us now. And so now to the main topic of today, which actually revolves right around that particular issue, and that is that we are going to announce right here and now the emergence of, starting January 1st, 2005, the launching of the Decade of Discovery. So, let's find out what that means. Do you want the good news or the bad news? Okay, let's start with the good news first. The good news is that a new vision of America is finally gaining legs and beginning to be seen above the muddle. The bad news is that if the good news cannot grow stronger, we face the prospect of massive environmental changes, much of which will result in disruptions of communities around the world, radical changes in economies, and of course the challenges to animals and plants and whole ecosystems. It's a choice we really have no choice about. We must make some changes. But the good news is, those problems are not inevitable. But we have to transform our definition of American life. Unfortunately, we in America are victims of an old dream. It was a good dream for a very long time. The dream of the endless wonder, certainly encapsulated in our wilderness system, of unlimited wealth and the right to get and take whatever we want. It inspired the great technologies and miracles of our age. But the wonder has met the road, and we must choose which path to follow. Now, I'm going to help you out a little bit here, because there's information that we need, and unfortunately we're not getting it in our mainstream press and from other sources. But here is what I'm finding out. America's falling behind in this globalizing world economy. We want to believe that we're leading the way, as we always have, but the truth is we're being left behind. And it's not in smoke and dust. It's actually we're living in our own smoke and dust as the rest of the world is cleaning up their act and moving into the new technological age. And in America, if we don't keep up with this globalizing world economy, we're going to find it very difficult, because more than ever, we have to rely on economics to sustain us, as some of the social programs that had been in place that we relied on are being put into question and diminished due to the challenges to our own economy. So let me give you some examples of really what's going on out there and why it's important that we really seriously move and create our own decade of discovery. Europeans, especially the Germans, are applying new technologies throughout their emerging infrastructure. Reports are that as you travel through Germany in particular, you're going to start finding solar applications just about everywhere, on the back of billboards, on buildings, all around their country. And they're integrating that into the future and into their future economy and developing technologies that will help support that. That's pretty progressive. In America, where California brags of being America's solar leader, 15,000 homes are now using solar energy. In Japan, where all energy is imported, they now have 1 million solar-powered homes. Now that, just on a practical point, that puts Japan 10 years ahead of us. They're integrating these new technologies into their world, and we are not, but we must. But here's the good news for America. Suddenly, citizens, communities, and corporations are not just talking, they're investing in utilizing solar solutions. Next time you're in your local Home Depot, keep your eyes open for the new BP Solar display. Home Depot and BP Solar have partnered to make solar available to everyone. I guess you could say I've sold out to the solar industries. Yep. But that's just the beginning. Solar alternatives are now doable, mainstreamed, and most importantly, the beginning to the end of reliance on the old oil oligarchy. But we are in a catch-up mode. That's why I invite you to join me and others as we declare 2005 the kickoff year of the decade of discovery. Just as the explorers of old ventured into the unknown, we must now venture into the unknown opportunities of transforming our society into an energy-independent nation. And the lesson learned recently is government isn't going to do it for us, as they are too tightly bound to that old oil oligarchy. Therefore, we must enlighten ourselves from the burden and do it ourselves. And we can, and we must, and we are. Here are some historical lessons. Our society was transformed within 10 years by the digital revolution. I recall when Al Gore was supposedly taking credit for creating the Internet. It took 10 years for America to put a man on the moon. Let us begin, therefore, the decade of discovery to energy independence. What will be the outcome? Well, within this decade, We will apply American will, vision, and genius to create new technologies. Such will inspire a massive economic transformation, just like the computer revolution that put people back to work, but which now has reached its apex. We need a new economic vision, mission, and strategy. When we emerge into the decade, when we launch this decade of discovery, guess what's going to happen? Just as in the age of the digital revolution, all sorts of industries and businesses and small businesses and creative endeavors that were inspired by this new revolution began to emerge, things we couldn't even imagine now that we take for granted. Well, with the decade of discovery, new industries will flourish. Communities will unite. Education for our children can become transformed into a meaningful alliance with our dream. Science, learning, solutions, America, the world, peace, all can be part of this emerging dream. So get ready as we look to the future. You heard it here first. And we're going to spend the next year, 2005, launching the Decade of Discovery. It's going to begin January 1st, 2005. Now, you've gotten the first invitation as special guests to its inauguration here on the Wild Side News. And I want you all to start dreaming and thinking about that, getting ready to make that transformation. So get ready for the Decade of Discovery. And get ready to hear about this week's Nature Celebrity, the world's favorite pale male, when we return with the voice of the earth on the Wild Side News, the wild world leader in Internet talk. So stay tuned. We're coming right at you.